Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happened in the middle of the night? Was it just a dream, or was it something more?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share your real ghost stories with us. You can call them in at 855-853-4802. You can write them in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would rather listen without the commercials, and you'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive, and you can listen to that archive for about like 4 years, you can become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and my sister Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am. And I wish I could have everybody over to my house because because
so sweet.
This last weekend I thought, I want to put up my Halloween decorations. And I did. And it looks great.
Kathy's
and you would
house
all love
always-
them.
Your house always looks so good when you decorate for Halloween. You have a really good sense of decorating anyway that I don't have, which is why I had you come over to help me decorate my house. but it just, you do, you're an artist and you've got that artistic
I take
sense.
Everything off of every shelf and then I just put up Halloween stuff. So I have skeletons and I have mummies and I have little vampires and I have, you know, like all the little black cats and all the things all over the place. So, you know, and lots of like black vines and things.
Well,
you know?
It
looks so good, you guys. I wish you could come over to my house.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there because it's not Halloween yet. And so you can
I know,
still invite
but
us all
I just
over.
Thought, you know, I was like,
do we come in shifts or how do you want to do this? Because we're all coming over.
Y'all just come over. It would be so fun to have you over. I would love that.
I mean, are snacks? Is it bring your own? What are we doing?
Well, like if you're going to like BYOB for sure, but you know, we can do some, shall we do the spaghetti for the intestines and the grapes and all this stuff?
Yeah.
Or so for them.
And this but, was his eyeballs.
I know, but I would love that. That would be so much fun to have a fun Halloween party for everybody.
I guess
we need to do that sometime. That's what we need to do is like have a real ghost stories online, like Halloween party.
In a haunted location.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Like a big haunted location.
A big haunted location and everybody could come.
Like a haunted penitentiary.
Ooh.
Just throwing that out there.
Really,
just an idea. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Okay, I'll ask Tony about that.
A hospital.
And we know people.
We know people.
I know people that have haunted hospitals and sanatoriums and penitentiaries.
Exactly. And so
houses.
I think that could be, I know. Let us know, folks, if that would be something fun you'd like to do.
So now what you're saying is not at your house.
Well, it's getting a little bigger, but I still think you would think my decorations were cute.
And your house is kind of creepy.
A little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes it is.
And you've got the spillover church right there if there's too many people.
That's true. We use a fellowship hall.
They can hang out there. Well, here is our first story today. And it says, this is my first time writing to you as I recently found your podcast. So far, I have been enjoying hearing everyone's shared experiences and your commentary on the events. I have a lifetime of being aware of supernatural occurrences and perhaps, that's in quote, or in parentheses, even attracting them. Though I am uncomfortable with the term and its implications, I have been called as sensitive and also psychic. I did not learn that this was something that ran in my family until I was an adult. As I said, it makes me uncomfortable, and I'm not sure I consider any of it a gift, as many people sometimes refer to such things. I can understand that.
Yeah,
because it's a lot to take in. When my husband, we can call him Michael, though that's not his real name, and I first began dating about 12 or so years ago, he moved to a new apartment. It was actually the attic of a house owned by an elderly couple who converted the space into a small one-bedroom apartment for extra income. Kind of reminds me of the basement you and I lived in a zillion years ago. It was so weird because it was like walking into your great aunt's house, but you had to go down the basement stairs. It's kind of
it's pretty weird.
And then, like, they built a wall, so then we had our door, but they had their stuff on the other side. And then you open the door, and there's our apartment. It's just kind of weird.
It was pretty weird.
So that it reminds me of that. But we had two bedrooms, I guess. The house was next door to the town's funeral home, which was still owned by Michael's new landlords, though the couple was now retired and leased the business to another undertaker and funeral director. These two buildings were quite close together, only separated by a small alleyway. When I first came to the apartment, I immediately turned to Michael and blurted out, "They used to prep bodies in the basement here." He brushed off my statement, laughing at me, and then refused to talk about it anymore. Michael was not really a believer in such things, though being married to me after all this time has altered his viewpoint a bit. I let the subject drop, even though I knew I was right. The feeling was so strong as to be almost nagging at the edge of my thoughts, but I tried my best to ignore it and not bring up the taboo conversation. However, as Michael and I began to spend more time together, including overnights, I could not ignore the overwhelming presence of someone around the apartment. After Michael had lived there a few months, he called me in the middle of the night, somewhat unsettled, asking if he could come spend the night at my house. Of course, I said yes, wondering what had upset him, as this was completely out of character for him. Once he was at my apartment, a few hours later, Michael told me about a dream he had that night. Something else to understand about this and how odd it was is that Michael never remembered his dreams. Never. Though that has changed over the years of being with me. On this particular night, Michael had gone to bed as normal with his bedroom door open. Sleeping with the door to the bedroom open was something I would not do whenever I spent the night, insisting that the door be closed. I was simply not comfortable with the door open and noticed that when we closed it, the room felt better and I was able to sleep easier. On that night that he called me in the middle of the night, Michael had had a nightmare and remembered it in perfect detail. In his dream, zombies were trying to break into his house and he was trapped in his bedroom, pressing the door closed with his legs as he had fallen on the ground. He recalled with vivid detail the sounds of the zombies scrabbling at the door, seeing their hands and arms begin to break through the wood and feeling terrified, knowing they were going to overwhelm him at any minute. Just as the zombies began breaking through the door and pushing it open, he woke up. To his surprise, he was lying on the floor in front of the bedroom door, pushing it closed with his legs. Understandably, he was pretty freaked out. As I would be.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad enough to have that dream, but to be like, you know, holding the door shut in your dream and then wake up and you're really doing that. Because I've never, like, sleepwalked or anything that I know of. That's so crazy. He stayed a few days at my house, and then we went back to his apartment. We spent a night with no real issue, but I stayed longer the next day. I could feel that I was not alone and was being watched. I cannot speak for anyone else who may have gifts like this, but for me, I rarely physically see things. I am not complaining about that. For me, it is a feeling so strong that I get a picture in my mind's eyes if you are remembering something or recalling a dream. What happened next was exactly that. I could see a man standing in the middle of the living room. He was middle-aged, dressed neatly in a suit, like one might be buried in, with a bow tie. While I did not feel threatened by him, I was not too keen on anyone seen or unseen being in the apartment with us. So I addressed him out loud, politely but firmly. I told him this was our/Michael's space, and while this man may be around, I never wanted to be aware of him, see him, or feel his presence. I then made a more general clearing of all of the things, and Michael never had those dreams again. While I would occasionally feel we were not alone and continued to insist that the bedroom door be closed when we were sleeping, the atmosphere remained tolerable. I later moved in with him, and we continued to live there for another year. Though I did not press the point, I still believed that the landlord either had originally run the funeral parlor out of the downstairs of the house, or at least had a basement area connected to the funeral home. One way or another, I still felt that dead bodies had been prepared for funerals and burials somewhere in the house. Michael was a teacher at the high school in town and taught the grandchildren of the elderly couple we rented from. During a free period in one of his classes, a general conversation was being had amongst the students about if hauntings were real and other general creepy topics. One of the grandchildren spoke up and shared how none of the kids, meaning the other grandchildren, liked going down to the basement in their grandparents' house. As they were growing up, the front part of the basement near the house was where the extra refrigerator and other storage was located. The sodas and snacks were kept there, and the kids would often be told to go grab drinks for everyone. They would always fight over who had to go because they were afraid to go down into the basement since on the other side of the main room of the basement was a partition wall separating the basement from, and this is all in caps, where their grandfather prepped bodies when he was the town mortician.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it.
Well, yeah, like who wants to go downstairs for the snacks when, you know, you've got the embalming room right there.
And the kids are picking up on that, just like she was.
Yeah.
Apparently, a small underground hallway ran under the alleyway and connected the lower level of the funeral home to the main house. The back part of the basement was the workroom where the deceased were embalmed and made ready for funerals and burials. So I had been right all along. The bodies were prepared in the house. Needless to say, my husband was shocked and a little spooked when he shared this with me. I felt sorry for him, actually, since this was his first real brush with the paranormal or psychic phenomena, whereas it's all old hat to me. That was just the first of many experiences that would lead my husband to believe me when I said I have a feeling or some other sort of premonition. Thank you for sharing my story. I look forward to sharing more of my experiences with you and your listeners. Sincerely, Lainey. That's so interesting. She knew all along. And
she did.
And it's interesting to me that she felt so strongly about it because the buildings weren't connected. And yeah. It's like, why would you bring them over here? Because you got to push them across the alleyway to get them into the house, then down in the basement. Mm-hmm. But there mm-hmm. was a tunnel sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I have lived in a former mortuary with a tunnel. But I knew that, you know, I was living in the
funeral
home.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise.
So it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't like her, no, you know, having that feeling.
And I get what she means about not knowing that it really is a gift. I think that's mm-hmm. something you have to kind of learn how to work with. I think that would be difficult to have things coming in at you. And
yeah, I don't know that there's much turning it off. She could be better help to explain that to us. You know, when it comes in and it's coming in, I don't know that you can just, you know.
But I've talked to some people who have a way. You know, it's like, look, I need a break, you know, shutting down. But I don't think you could ever completely turn it off.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting how that she saw the man and told him, no, you know, can't be here.
In the weird dream thing with her boyfriend, I would have been freaked out too if I woke up to a dream that intense where zombies are breaking down a door to get to me. I'm just telling you, nothing much worse than that.
You know, though, I would say, you know, I've had weird dreams where, like, you know, the outside world comes into my dreams. And so, you know, I remember one time I was talking on the phone and I woke up and I had the phone in my hand. Like in my dream, I went for the phone, I guess, because it was so real. I actually did it, you know, Or, you know, I've had a few of those where, you know, I would wake up and I'd be like actually doing this thing.
I have never done that. I've never woken up.
Oh, I have. I could find myself on the floor doing that. I could see that. You know,
I could see why that would freak you out.
Yeah, but I could see that.
Well, we've got another story. And this one kind of goes back a few episodes ago. We had a story from a girl named Chloe. And I don't know if she wrote... I'm trying to find that story. Hi, I'm Chloe. I love your podcast. And she talks about some things that happened. So I don't know if she wrote in and called in about the same time. But let's listen to her call. It might be some of the same things that were in her story. But let's listen to the phone call from Chloe.
Okay.
So, hi, I'm Chloe again. I just called, but I had to redo my message through another call. I'm 13. I live in Utah. I'm not going to tell you my address because that would be weird. I heard this voice when I was walking away from my backyard, away from my brother's friends. And I heard this voice as I was passing the garage. I heard this voice saying, turn the page. And it was a woman's voice. And I don't know if it was something I summoned because I do the Ouija board. And I don't know what the reason why they said that, but I have no clue. Like a few years ago when my brothers were still young, because my brothers are older now, a few years ago, like 10 years ago, my brothers had a bunk bed. The bunk bed bell. So I was wandering weirdly in the random of the night, and because I was young and I didn't know what to do with my life. So I was casually just being weird, and I went to my brother's room, and I saw this tall lady in the corner of the room, and I saw just this tall, tall lady, like as tall as the ceiling, I'd say like about 6 feet tall. And she said, go back to bed. I was like, okay. And so me being like the six-year-old I was, I went back to bed. The next morning, my brothers were like, did you go in our room? Were you in our room? I was like, no. I mean, yeah, but no. And they said that they had seen this woman, like they had the sudden urge to wake up. And they saw this woman in the corner. I was like, that's the same woman I saw. And they're like, that's weird. And so a few nights later, the same thing happens. She tells me to go to bed because I was getting a cup of water this time. And she tells me to go to bed. I'm like, okay. And then I go back to bed. And this continues for a few more nights. And so anyways, back to the present day. This actually happened this morning on 9/21/23. I don't know when this is going to be aired or if it is going to be aired, but let me just share this story. I was dancing in the living room, and I don't know what I had heard. Not, I didn't hear anything. I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and it was this tall woman. I think it was the same woman I saw a few years ago. It was this tall woman, but it was different because she was wearing a white dress. The other woman was wearing all black. And... whoa, my door just opened. That's crazy, bro. I'm sorry. There's no one there. I'm freaking out right now. But I was dancing, and this woman just standing there. She didn't stand, sorry. She was walking for a glimpse. I just saw her. I was like, that is crazy, bro. And I am now feeling something in the room right now, and I am... because I'm kind of like a medium. I can feel stuff and I can hear stuff. But I can't really see, sorry. I can't see stuff, but I can hear them. And a couple of times when I was doing the Ouija board, it brought up your name. And I thought that was so crazy and insane. Sorry, I just took the phone away from my ear to just review something real quick. And I hope this gets aired, and I love the show. I love Harper. I love the other person. I love everyone that you bring on this podcast. It was nice to talk to you. Hope this gets aired. Bye.
She's adorable.
She is adorable.
She is adorable. I love that she's dancing in a room, in the living room, and saw something. But yeah. She obviously does see things, because it says, you know, she saw something, didn't she, in her by the bunk beds?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yes, I remember some of these things from the other story. And the turn the page one strikes me because
that's the one we had a long conversation about. So there's two episodes, and Chloe. There's another one with your story in it, too.
Yeah, and I think whatever this is that you're seeing or being around, and your brothers saw it, too, it seems good. Like, it's doing
almost
kind
maternal.
Of mom things.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to be a protective sort of thing. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. And then the turn the page, that seems like just advice.
Yeah, because right? We had a long conversation about that in the other episode, mm-hmm. about turn the page could kind of be moving on to the next chapter. I mean, that's kind of a literal interpretation, but it
you
could be.
You need to move on. You need to, you know, do something new, different. Look ahead. Now, so I'm feeling that this is a good thing.
One thing I would caution her about is the Ouija board stuff. And
yeah,
I think
far away from that.
And the reason I say that is that I interviewed a guy today for the Grave Talks, and when he was about 14, actually 15 in there, he and a friend, like, they made their own Ouija board, and, you know, he was just kind of obsessed with it and messed with it every day, multiple times a day. And then he said, you know, it was like, it got so intense that he thought he might have a brain tumor. Like, he literally went to the doctor to have a scan because he thought something was wrong. So he didn't know if he'd opened up something or it was awakening something around him, but it was really intense. And so when you already are having activity around you, I don't think you really need to mess with a Ouija board on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's already things going on. I just think that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. Set the Ouija board aside.
Yeah.
Just don't even mess with that. I completely agree.
Start reading. You know, if you're interested in the subject and you want more information, you know, start reading different. There's so many books out there these days on different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just think if you're already living in a house that you're having activity and doors are opening while you're making a call to a paranormal podcast, I think that that's just kind of poking it, you know, mm-hmm. and rousing things that maybe you don't need. So that would be my advice, Chloe. Put away the Ouija board. Stash it away pretty good.
Try some new things.
Yep. Because that could be what Turn the Page is all about, like time.
That's what I think it totally is. You know, and I think new things, like join clubs, do other things, you know, try things that you wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, you know.
Yeah, I like that advice. But she just seems so sweet. I'd like to meet her. I would.
Mm-hmm. She's darling.
So if you have a ghost story that you would like to share, we'd like to hear it. Call in. It's 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can get ad-free versions of the show. With that, you'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.